This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Nima Romani, president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers Association, former federal prosecutor as well, about the Rex Heuermann case. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the DNA that's been argued about this week, initially saying, we don't think we need to give you that buccal swab. Eventually, the judge saying, no, you need to give the buccal swab. From a legal perspective, how significant do you think the DNA evidence is going to be in this case? And how damning is that buccal swab going to be once it gets into the CODIS database and such?
Yeah, I mean, the DNA is huge. It's everything, right? Yep. I mean, that's what really broke the case. Obviously, we know it was the vehicle and you know, the roommate and that testimony. But, you know, the DNA puts him and Heuermann, really his wife's DNA, at the scene. So, you know, you have the DNA at the scene of multiple murders. So it's incredibly damning. I mean, this isn't OJ anymore. I mean, jurors, they all know how reliable DNA evidence is. And the fact that your DNA is there, you better have an explanation. It was planted, it was transferred, something. And you know, maybe you can explain it away as a lawyer once, but you're not going to be able to do it 2-3 times.
That's obviously going to be a very complex part of this case and a difficult thing for the defense. What are some of the other primary challenges that you anticipate in either defending or prosecuting Heuermann for those who are tasked with doing so?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough case, you know, to defend. The evidence seems pretty overwhelming. And again, whenever you have multiple victims and multiple scenes, it becomes tough. And, you know, obviously, you know, defense lawyers are always going to resist, but, you know, it's pretty well established that things like, you know, a DNA swab and those types of things, not protected by the Fourth or Fifth Amendments. It's not testimonial. You don't need a search warrant. You got to give up that DNA. So, you know, you got to even give a sample when you're arrested. You know, it's going to be very tough. You know, there are experts that are going to have to come up with some sort of explanation for this jury as to why his DNA was at the scene. You know, again, I've seen it all from, like I said, transfer, planting, you know, that they attack the reliability of the evidence. But, you know, whenever you're dealing with, you know, a one in, you know, trillion chance that it's someone else's DNA, that's something that's just very tough to overcome from a defense perspective.
I mean, knowing this going in, obviously we're not to any sort of trial or anything yet. With this amount of damning information we already have, and God knows what we're going to find out in the coming weeks and months, do you see this eventually going to trial, or is it going to mount up so, so heavy and high that the attorney's going to say, look, you got to just plead guilty because this is pointless?
You know, yeah. So yeah, I was trying to get a sense of what the defense attorney's going to do, right? Yeah. You know, so there was the, you know, initial appearance, and then he's handed the discovery and he gets that press conference right outside the courthouse. And he says, well, there's terabytes worth of information that I have to go through. I mean, there's a lot in this case, because it's not just the DNA, right? There's all that electronic evidence. You know, there's going to be tons of cell phone evidence, you know, fake emails, burner phones, you know, obviously the computer evidence, the child. I mean, there's just a lot for the defense attorney to go through in terms of evidence. But you know, and just listening to him, and I know it's very early in the case, and he's saying things like, you know, the presumption of innocence and, you know, the burdens on the prosecution. I mean, that's all defense lawyers speak, but you know, I don't think this is a case that really can be defended on the merits. Now, that being said, whenever you're dealing with a serial killer, and we haven't really had one, you know, we had one in the Fresno area here in California, but you know, this isn't the 70s and 80s where there are, you know, lots of serial killers. We haven't had a serial killer in quite some time. This case was cold, you know, especially given all the controversies surrounding the Brooklyn DA and how they even investigated this case. Yeah. I can't see any situation, Tony, where the prosecution is going to give this guy any sort of deal. No. He's old. Anyway, I mean, this is a life case, even if he were a young man. Yeah. So there's going to be no deal in this case, which means that Heuermann is going to die in New York State prison, whether he pleads or whether he's convicted. Yeah. So this can, you know, I can see this, Tony, being one of those cases, you know, we prosecutors call it a long guilty plea or slow guilty plea. You know, we're going to go through the motions of a trial, but I think the result's going to be inevitable. He's going to be convicted.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.